Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with this Sabbath day and letting us know in the last days before everything comes to an end the truth about your law and why the enemy of souls attacks it. He's trying to garner as many souls into hellfire with him before you get here. Please give us the courage and the strength to stand firm in the truth. Thank you for helping us pass the tests, and thank you for spanking us when we step off the path and nudging us back into your arms. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night during the prayers and the text chat and all that. And thank you for blessing the Sabbath in a special way. And please bless all those that are here in attendance and all those that will be hearing these truths throughout the years, however long it takes before you come home to us and then we go home to you. And thank you also, Father, for blessing us with opportunities to share our faith. And we lift this prayer to you in the name of our King, our Savior, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, and amen, and amen. Okay, hold on a second here. Okay, I want to welcome new people. We got some new folks with us this Sabbath. And praise the Lord, everything seems to be working a little bit better with the internet. And so, without any further ado, let's go right into the study. We're in question number 14. And if you're new, you can scroll down underneath the text chat. You'll see the questions on the studies and as well as the sermon notes for later. Anyway, question number 14 says, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against whom? And Revelation 13, verse 6 says, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now, we learned about this mouth of blasphemy in the Roman Catholic Church in the previous sections of this study in regards to how blasphemy deals with things like for the Pope to claim to be God on earth, as well as for the Pope and all the Catholic priests to claim that they can absolve you of their sins, of your sins. And that's why all Catholic churches have confessionals in them. And a lot of people don't seem to realize why they invented the confessional. And it has to do with their prophesied desire to take over the world. And so what I mean is, almost 2,000 years ago, mostly in the infancy of vigilists' attendance on the papal chair in 538, so any time after that, actually, they invented the confessional, and it was only open to kings and queens and princes and nobles. Reason being is they would confess their sins to a Roman Catholic priest, who reports back to the Pope, the political monster on earth. And so he could tell when, they had political strength in certain areas, or they were weak in certain areas. They could also get inside information in regards to what the kings and the queens and the princes and the nobles were planning, because they would speak of assassinations or assassination attempts and stuff like that. And then so Rome would use that inside information in the confessional to topple kingdoms, literally. That's the reason for the confessionals starting. And then later on, of course, they were used in business when they opened up the confessional to the common man. So, but just looking at the structure of the Vatican as a so-called temple of God on earth, which they keep claiming is, far from it, of course, we see numerous ways that the popes have blasphemed the heavenly temple. The Vatican's counterfeit tabernacle, with its many pagan or biblical jurisprudence, defines them as such, counterfeit sacrifices. They're being offered up on a counterfeit by counterfeit priests onto a counterfeit or a pagan god or another Jesus, as the scriptures, the prophecy warns, will notice. Because a lot of people out there claim to be Christians, and only because they're following after the version of Jesus that Rome teaches and then all the other churches teach as well, because we all know what happened on June 26, 2000, which was the fulfillment of the prophecy regarding the one world religion, and all the churches gathered in one area. I mean, they had already done this well in advance. You had the National Council of Churches, but on June 26th, in the same motel room that it occurred in June 26th of 1948, with the United Nations being formed, the papers were signed on June 26th, same hotel room, but 1999, the United Religions, when they were formed. And that became the World Council of Churches, not just the National Council of Churches. And so all the churches gathered under one roof and declared in writing that if there was a universal leader of the church, they would all bow to him as their leader, and the Pope as the official leader of it in 1999, but it wasn't really made public until the year 2000. And so, you know, this is all historic fact. Plus, we also know that this proves the Vatican is, in fact, a blasphemous temple or tabernacle, in that it has literally raped and killed tens of millions of little boys and women and everybody, I mean, since its inception, as well as at least 500 million Christians were killed by the, again, prophesied first reign of the Antichrist during the years 538 AD until Napoleon stepped up and did what he did in 1798 AD. But were you also aware that these counterfeit priests also claim to be, and I'm quoting now, this is from Liguori's Dignity and Duties of the Priest on page 31. He says this, when talking of the priests, he says the priests are greater than the angels, and that the Pope can excommunicate angels, no less. So if the angel doesn't go along with Roman Catholic dogma, they kick him out of heaven, supposedly, is what they say. And the sad thing here is, because the majority of the people on the planet, especially Roman Catholics, don't read Bibles. They believe all this stuff because their leaders say so. And you can also see this happening in all the churches now. What we call to this day, this church coined the phrase years ago in regards to pastor echoes. And we see this in a lot of the churches where the people will come up and declare what we preach to be error. And all they do is they echo what their pastors say, which makes it very easy for us, because all we really have to do is open up a Bible and point to the Bible verse that they're taking or out of context or twisting or totally nullifying, for that matter. But the fact is, the people believe that the popes can excommunicate angels, or they believe that the Pope is a god on earth because the popes and the priests say so, and the people follow them religiously because they worship the creature more than the creator, which is also why a strong delusion has been placed upon them, as the other prophecies state. So, but to be honest, I don't know why Rome saw fit to document such openly demonic statements over the centuries like the one I just read, but I'm glad they did, because it helps us expose, you know, the lies, and of course at the same time share the truth, because I mean the other prophecies in regards to the man of sin right before Jesus gets here. The people of God will know who the man of sin is, and this is why we're targeted. This is why we're attacked on a regular basis. So, and perhaps they did this also to proclaim an air of superiority to the people they ruled, hoping that they would never actually read the Bibles that they outlawed. I mean, after all, they had global power back then when they were making these statements, and probably thought they would never be found out, because they become that arrogant in their power. They actually believed that they could supersede the prophetic statements that were made in regards to their, you know, the beast that was, and then yet is. They didn't believe what Daniel said. They didn't believe that some guy would come along, who, of course, was Napoleon that God used, and remove the Pope from power. They didn't think that was going to be possible, because they literally had it sewn up, just like today. They literally think they've got it sewn up, where they can literally take care of every true child of God and force them to receive the mark of the beast. Well, I'm sure they also thought the same thing when they had Goliath running towards the people of God saying, "Send me a man that I may fight him." You know, it was obvious. All the people of Israel were shaking in their boots when Goliath stepped out, because the guy was 9'2". His spear alone was, what is it, like just the spearhead was 10, 12 pounds. The shield was 125 pounds. I mean, that was what, like, many of the men weighed. The shield alone weighed as much as a man. And so a lot of the people were fearful. And that's what they look at. It's also the reason Peter sank when he was walking on the water. He took his eyes off Christ. See, the difference is when Goliath made that claim that day and he made that boast, he didn't realize there was somebody in that crowd that wasn't like the rest of the people. He had the same spirit that the remnant people of God do in the last days, where he had a heart that called out onto God's heart. He cried out to God's heart. Deep crieth unto deep. And so when he saw that unclean Philistine making that crazy boast, he ran towards Goliath with a pebble. And God guided the pebble and killed Goliath that day. And so, but this is also why, in regards to them, you know, how the Vatican makes these crazy statements in writing, this is also why I believe they never released all that's in the Vatican archives. I mean, since the two witnesses have been successful in uplifting the word to the heights of heaven, just as the prophecy predicted they would, and no, the two witnesses aren't what the people of the world are preaching today. They're saying that Elijah and, I don't know, they may as well go so far as to say John Paul II is going to resurrect or something, but I think it's Elijah and someone else. Maybe Elijah and John the Baptist are going to step up in the last days and be the two witnesses that go forth. They don't know the first... Yeah, Elijah and Moses, thanks. But, yeah, that's what they're saying now, like the Left Behind series. I mean, if you've ever seen some of those movies that they made with Kurt Cameron and stuff like that, they had Elijah and Moses out there supposedly making statements and fire came out of their mouths and stuff like that. Totally taking, you know, prophetic symbolism, giving them literal terms. But if you do an actual Bible study and read the scriptures where the two witnesses are mentioned, you find out the two witnesses are actually the Old and the New Testament. But most people, again, don't read their Bibles, and the pastors that are out there preaching and teaching to them are taught by Vatican prelates. And so they're, and this is why you see Bibles like the NIV, the NASB, the Douay Rheims, and stuff like that, with the thousands and thousands of Bible verses missing in them and rewritten, is because the Vatican knows that book is powerful, and the Vatican knows it exposes them. And just in case some of those people out there do read their Bibles, we don't want them to have the whole story. And this is why I made the bogus Bibles page on my website. If you notice, there's like a pattern to their madness. There are certain Bible verses missing. So by the time you get to, you start at the top of that page, and by the time you get to the bottom of the page, you realize why certain Bibles were missing, or certain verses were missing. And you see today just how it worked, and it worked well. Because everybody believes that when you die, you go immediately to heaven or immediately to hell because certain Bible verses are missing. Or they believe that there's a 7-year tribulation period because certain Bible verses are missing. Or that hellfire is for all eternity. In other words, God's a tyrant, and if you are sent to hell, you will burn and scream at the top of your lungs for all eternity, never-ending pain and suffering, because certain Bible verses have been rewritten as well as missing. And they also believe that when Jesus comes, there's going to be a secret rapture, and millions of people are going to be missing, planes are going to be falling out of the skies, cars crashing and trucks crashing on the road below, because millions of people are missing because certain Bible verses are missing from their Bibles. And so it's working. I mean, if you look at all, or they believe in a Sunday Sabbath too, you know. And so it's just the same old story. Yeah, the Left Behind movie is what, that literally glorifies their false theology. And they also believe that when Jesus comes here, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth. And there are some Sabbath keepers that believe that too, like the Worldwide Church of God. They actually believe that they're going to reign with Christ on planet earth for 1,000 years, even though the Bible literally says in more than one place that there's nothing but dead bodies all over the planet. If you don't leave when Jesus comes back, you're left behind dead. The Bible even says it's a feast day for the birds because they're going to have something to eat. I mean, but this is par for the course for today, because most, like the prophet Amos said, most people aren't reading Bibles today. So, the Roman prelates are now protecting those ancient statements that are in their archives made by their predecessors for reasons. And for the most part, it has to do with the stuff that will expose them in a major way. I mean, it's, a lot of stuff has been erased over time in the public archives found in every nation, because they know people, if the people saw what they said in the past and what's penned in the Bible, the Vatican would literally become a pile of rubble. And it is going to eventually get there. There's going to be the smoke of her rising is going to happen. They're eventually going to be found out and exposed in a major way globally. So, but they're trying to postpone that date as long as possible. So no matter, even their hidden sins are going to be shouted from the rooftops as soon as well. So we don't really have that much to worry about when it comes to stuff like that. If you stay close to Christ, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Sure, some of us may end up going to our graves in a martyrdom, but the Bible's also pretty clear about not fearing those who can kill the body. They can't kill your soul. They can kill your body all you want, but you're going to get up again. That's the difference. And then you'll never die after that. And so, anyway, question number 15. Let's see here. Where is it? What was he, you know, and speaking in terms of the popes of Rome, what was he allowed to do to the saints? And Revelation 13, verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, if you read my How to Understand Prophecy page in the Prophecy Studies Tool section of the website, or heard the sermon I did on this, I'm not even sure if I made a video on it or not, but you're going to know why the Lord allowed these Christians to die, the 500 million Christians that were killed during this 1,260-year period that Revelation calls it, or 42-month period that Revelation calls it, or a time of times and a dividing of a time that Daniel describes it as. As many are finding out today as well, when the Christians decide to be lethargic or lazy or complacent or just plain bored with Bible study, as well as disobedient to the law of God, because that's just the end result of not studying Scripture, you're going to get to a point where it's no big deal to lie. You know, everybody else is doing it. Whoop-de-doo, you know what you're going to think. Or you go to church on any day of the week you want because everybody else is doing it. You know, when you get to that point, you know, not reading Scripture, being disobedient is easy. So when you're disobedient, like the Jews of old, when every time, and you could see this in the Old Testament from cover to cover, you know, it shows how when they were disobedient, the prophets of their day, and every age there was a prophet for the church, every age. So the prophets during the days of their disobedience were not allowed to proclaim anything in advance. All the prophets would do at that point would tell them they need to repent. They need to get right with God. They need to get back on the path of righteousness. That is the present, like what we call present truth today, or the three angels' message. Well, fourth angel as well, of Revelation 18. But because of their disobedience, and this is sad, when you think about it, and now I'm talking about the Christians, the majority of the Christians became disobedient after March 6th, or no, wait, I'm sorry, March 7th, in our present day, this is one of the things about the Vatican and their prelates and the governments they control. They have a thing about dates. That's why United Nations and United Religions were both started on the exact same date in the same motel room, June 26th, right? Well, same thing happened in March 7th, 321 AD, that happened March 7th, 2006, when George W. Bush signed it into law that all the churches that have a 501c3 are now considered government agents that can actually lobby law. And they're talking about Sunday laws, of course, right? But in 321 AD, when Constantine did this, he set up the very first Sunday law. Even though all the churches out there claim that the minute Jesus Christ resurrected, Sunday morning is when the Sunday Sabbath started. Now, they're not able to show you a single Bible verse that says that's truth. And this is one of the reasons the Roman Catholic Church declares their Sunday Sabbath as their mark of authority, because they say there is no such Bible verse that says you're right. There is not a verse from Genesis to Revelation that says Sunday is a Sabbath. The only reason you keep Sunday is because you agree that Rome had the power to change the Bible. And this is why they call that their mark. But the fact here is he did what he did in 321 A.D., and the majority of the Christians, not all of them, I got a page on the website that shows a Sabbath-keeping Christian all throughout history. I got it listed, all right? And so not all of them did this, but the majority did. And this is the reason 500 million Christians died, is because when they did this, the prophets of their day, or even the ability to read Daniel or Revelation, was foreign to them. They could not understand it. They couldn't see how the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, as well as some of the minor prophets, actually described the Roman Catholic Church and the leaders of it as the most dangerous entity on the planet. They're going to act like Christians to destroy Christianity from within. They were totally unaware of that because of their disobedience. They couldn't understand prophecy. Just like the Old Testament Jews, whenever they were disobedient, the prophets did not tell them what was next. They only told them, repent, and then you're going to get the understanding. Well, they didn't repent. So they kept on keeping Sunday holy, and because of that, they saw no problem hanging with the Catholics or electing Catholics in office and having Catholics as civil authority over them or chief of police kind of a thing. And so before you knew it, Catholics were out there killing people because they wouldn't agree with what the Vatican said. And this is where the reformers come in, of course, and the sixth hour of Martin Luther and all that. So the majority of the Christians had no idea the Bible warned them about the beast in Rome, so they allowed them to come to power and even rule over them, which, like I said a moment ago, this is why hundreds of millions were slaughtered. Now, I'm sure the majority of those martyred, like many are about to discover today, the Lord does forgive them. But because all sin has consequence, be it smoking eventually leads to cancer, disobedient often leads to death. Now, you still may gain heaven, of course, but you're going to have to die to get there. See, that's the difference between the martyrs of today and the Gideon band of tomorrow. Because there are going to be a huge group of people on planet Earth that will never see death. There's going to be 144,000 of them, according to the book of Revelation, because they're able to stand there and boldly proclaim to all the universe. And again, I didn't write the Bible, so don't think I'm a nutcase saying stuff like this. But yeah, the majority of the people in here, yes, you all understand it. This is not foreign to you. But this is, and even the book of Psalms even talks about these people. You know, when they see the mountain shaking like reeds in the wind, and you're not fearful. Why? Because you know. It's not going to affect you in any way, shape, or form. You're going to be rising off the planet in a second. After the dead in Christ rise, you rise up with them. But for the other people that waited too long to get obedient, and couldn't be used of God in a major way because they were too busy, you know, engrossed in worldly things, they had to die to get there. And in today's world, we're talking beheadings because we already see it. There's a Christian dying every 2 minutes now by Muslims, and they have a tendency to like to use, you know, the beheading thing. And then we've got 30,000 plus guillotines in America right now because we know they're going to enforce the mark of the beast in this nation first. That's prophetic understanding that most that study prophecy, you already know that. And so this is why so many are dying today. They simply ignored all the truth that the Lord sent them via the mouths of those proclaiming the loud cry until it was too late. And that's why you see a lot of preachers out there, you know, that talk about repentance. I mean, these people do eventually repent and finally do decide to give their life to Christ, but now it entails giving up their lives to do so. Even during the Inquisitions, even during those times, the majority of them, the people like the 500 million that were killed, were Sunday keepers. They're going to gain heaven because the Bible says twice that the Lord winks at our times of ignorance. If they didn't know that their leaders lied to them and told them that Sunday was the Sabbath and they went to their graves thinking it was the Sabbath, the Lord's still going to allow them to gain heaven because he's not going to judge you by things you don't know yet. But if you know this stuff, and you deny Sabbath anyway, you're going to have a real rough go in the days ahead. Now, don't get me wrong. Not all are going to experience martyrdom because they wait so long to accept Christ. Some are going to be martyred because they have been walking with Christ for many years, and their work has finally come to an end, and the Lord is allowing them the blessing of martyrdom that does actually bless others, too. I mean, we saw the apostles and how they died. Well, not all of them, but the majority of them died in a martyr's death. And what I mean by this, by how people get blessed by your martyrdom, let's say, how many of us, before we met Christ, have been moved by how a Christian we watch reacted in an unexpected, loving way when they were attacked? Their reaction made us realize God is real. I know that's what worked for me when I was young and I was looking for God. And I was a devout Catholic. I was going to Mass for every holy day of obligation with my parents. I know all about the scapular, genuflecting, the rosary, the whole nine yards, all the superstitions of Rome, all the pagan theology. Knew about it all. Thought I was extremely religious. You know, I was emulating my dad to the best of my ability. But I didn't know God, and I was looking for him. And then I saw a couple of people that did meet God and weren't Catholics. They left the Catholic Church, and they had some crazy stuff happening to them in their lives. One in particular was going through the kind of similar stuff that I was going through. You know, he was looking at some heavy time behind bars, and so was I. And so, but he, it wasn't affecting him, but he seemed to be happy-go-lucky, not a problem, not a care in the world. And here I'm, you know, shaking in my boots every chance I get. I wanted to meet his Jesus. And so it's the same thing with the people that were martyred. When the Vatican was killing those Christians during the Inquisitions, many people came to Christ after witnessing how some willingly went to the stake to be burned alive rather than deny him as Lord. John Huss, for example, even sang to Jesus Christ while he was being burned at that stake. The last thing on his lips were songs of praise. So, in any event, the question in the study asks, what was the little horn or the popes of Rome allowed to do to the saints? Prophecy says, and historic records confirmed, they were allowed to make war with those saints. And hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.